Our lectionary passages today put together two passages and an interesting combination, I believe. And so we will meditate on that as we meditate on the flesh that we are as we come to God. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, says Moses in this passage of Hebrew Scripture. Sometimes called the Gospel of the Old Testament, this passage reminds the people of Judah even in the midst of such a long period of rebellion and misconduct, they have a relationship which endures with God. We gather week by week, Sunday after Sunday, to remember that, to claim that as we worship together the God who is supreme, no matter what the world seeks to tell us. As the brief statement of faith of the Presbyterian Church puts it, in life and in death, we belong to God. The book of Deuteronomy recalls back the history of Moses leading the people from the grasp of Pharaoh in Egypt through the wilderness, wandering and perhaps wondering, glimpsing for the first time that promised land, that inspiration which led them so far to that place, thinking back to the giving of the law. Keep God's commands, laws, and decrees. Keep our focus on God alone. It was helpful to me when I was in Old Testament courses in seminary now many, many years ago to remember that law is not a bad thing. But in those days, the giving of the law was a gift of grace to the people, an ordering of life that brought life and justice to the people. It can be so if rooted in God's design for justice and freedom for all God's people. Paul picks up this theme as the Corinthian community struggles to find its way in a world of chaos and confusion and competing interests. Jill Duffield, who's the editor of the Presbyterian Outlook, wrote for this week, "The only way we will hear and heed Jesus in these chaotic and difficult times is to listen carefully and in community. I am convinced," she writes, "that the only way our outward actions will match our inward hopes will be through prayer, worship, and mutual accountability." And so we come to worship and study and pray, to encourage each one another in the things which pertain to God. It is important, this ordering of life together, to gather and to support one another, to look inward and to look outward, to constantly acknowledge the source of all true life in God. We Christians have a tendency to look at the law, particularly in a book like Deuteronomy, and dismiss it with the word that Jesus took care of all that, and that those things are no longer necessary for us to receive the benefits of covenant relationship, to live and increase, to be blessed by the Lord God in the land we enter, to bring justice as we look to the laws to see how they bring life for all people. We too, my friends, are commanded to choose life, like Moses says in Deuteronomy, in our day-to-day choices and activities, looking to God and acting with love toward our neighbor, no matter at which end of life we stand. That will likely look different for each of us depending on our circumstances, our passions, and our energies. And the Corinthian community was struggling with that, with people who were claiming Paul as their inspiration, people who were claiming Apollos as their inspiration. It's not so different for us in our history and in our time. Think of it, if you may, in this month, how 50-plus years ago in the civil rights struggle, that how how differently that looked 50 years ago in the civil rights struggle, in what Reverend William Barber calls the Second Reconstruction. William Barber, who is the moving force behind the repairers of the breach, trying to pull together diverse peoples around that common identity. Think, if you will, of leaders Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X and how polarized they were in those days, and yet both deeply rooted in the God they worshiped and guided them in very different ways. Only God gives the growth, Paul writes, and by their fruits you will know them. Love God, Moses tells us. Discerning God's will for our lives is a process that grows out of listening to and loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not an easy task. It comes with practice, and we grow into it. As Paul writes in the letter to the Corinthians, the temptations to quarrel and jealousy show our flesh and show our very need to grow. There are distinctive differences between us, and seeking to keep them ever grounded in God, remembering this cross, as we pointed out to the children, or as I pointed out to the children this morning, keeping us grounded in God helps us to embrace that we are all servants belonging to God. We grow as we bring our very selves into relationship with one another and are then better equipped to engage the world in all its being. I think we grow most when we are more different. This is an active life, looking to God in the day-to-day events of life, not just in the big or the very personal decisions, but in day-to-day activity, moment by moment. Asking the question, where is God in the midst of this? And what is the godly thing to do in this moment? This is the essence of Christian faith, to see God active in all of life, in decisions of work, home, and play, in decisions big and small. Not only in a Sunday morning service or when we're safely within the walls of this church, for we go from here into the world, and we see one another responding out of our gifts to engage the world in new ways. Deuteronomy challenges, our heart turns away from God, and we are not obedient. If we do not keep our heart focused in God, if we do not stay grounded there, we're easily drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship them. In the words of the brief statement of faith, we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator. Ignoring God's commandments, we violate the image of God in others and ourselves, accept lies as truth, exploit neighbor and nature, and threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation. And yet, Paul reminds us that we are drawn together to grow together in Christ. We are empowered by God to move forward in faith and given the strength to keep God's commands, laws, and decrees, even as we would seek to make our own laws and to try to live our own life as we wish it. To admit God's sovereignty, God's power in our lives, is a difficult decision. Jesus in Mark challenges the disciples to keep two commands, only two, to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. With the power of the Spirit, we are moved beyond our own power. We grow in trusting that the Spirit flows to point us to the way, in asking and receiving direction through the power of prayer, in listening to God. And praise be to God, we are not alone in that journey. We can rely upon one another for help in listening for God, for challenging the ways that we are hearing that, but for sticking together in love. That is why we gather in churches and communities of faith, in activities of prayer and study, together as we journey. For in all these things, we are led to choose life, not death and destruction. There is no place in life through which God cannot speak. For we are, as Paul writes, God's servants working together, God's field, God's building. So let us be. Amen.